Blog Talk Radio.
Ray and Tay today. Yes, Sports Radio's on. Talking sports with friends, and you know we got it on. From the NFL to the NBA, MLB and college hoops do it all day. College football, we know who's number one. Understand, on the phones, you know we get it done. So call in 718-664-9098, and we'll give you more. Talking sports.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. Where you been? We're here, Ray and Tay today, and I'm Ray, Tall Rayside.
And I'm Tay, Eric Taylor, and we are hyped up talking some sports. Give us a call, 718-664-9098. Like always, hit us up at rayandtaytoday@gmail.com. Tweet at us at Ray and Tay Today, Facebook, YouTube, subscribe. Join us, man. We're pretty much everywhere. You know, we don't Instagram it and start, what is it, Cyberdust. Maybe we'll get to that soon, right, Ray? You know, we got to broaden our horizons a little bit with some of that stuff. But check out our website, rayandtaytoday.com. We'll soon be joined, Ray, from ESPN New York and the New York Knicks beat writer, Ian Begley. A lot going on in basketball, the Knicks. The Oscars? Did you watch the Oscars, Ray? What'd you think?
I did, and I tell you what, I wasn't blown away. I thought it was just okay. I was really hoping for a little more.
Right? We didn't love the Grammys. We didn't love the Oscars. It's been a rough year for award shows.
Man, we sound like two grumpy old men. But for real, I didn't think that it was particularly outstanding. And Neil Patrick Harris, who does a great job in other award shows, for some reason was just off a little bit, I thought.
It was a little he was a little hokey and corny to me. You know, obviously congrats to Birdman getting the best picture. I was happy for Common and John Legend for their song Glory winning for Selma. And I thought the tribute to Julie Andrews was amazing. And Lady Gaga knocked it out the park with that. So those were the two shining moments. For me, I would have liked to see Michael Keaton won.
Which
Julianne
is funny
Moore.
Because yeah. Everybody thought Michael Keaton was the sure thing. He was a lock of all locks, and he did win it, Best Actor in the Golden Globes. And so they thought, if anything, he would win, and it was the exact opposite. He didn't win, but Birdman won everything in the second half of the show.
Right, right. Well, the other guy was good, too, and he was getting a lot of hype. But you got to be happy for Julianne Moore, you know, but... It's time.
Here we go.
Talk.
I think we got Ian on the line. We need to make that transition to some hoops.
Hoop it up.
Exactly. Hey, Ian, it's Ray and Tay. Welcome to the show.
Gentlemen, what's going on?
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
We were talking a little Oscars last night. You know, we cover it all.
Wow, you guys are versatile.
Listen, Ian, you got to be, because we're trying to make the big money like you, buddy. And I'm gonna jump right into it, Ian.
Listen, if that's your goal, you guys are in trouble. You gotta aim higher than that, man.
Okay.
I'm telling you.
I'm not mad at you. But listen, you respect the hustle and your great work and your hard work. And look, I'm not going to beat around the bush. We're diehard Knicks fans. Forget sports radio. Forget, you know, our jobs. But at the same time, we're passionate Knicks fans. And between Carmelo and the All-Star game, which wasn't really a big deal, but then the 30 minutes and the shut it down, the whole season, Phil Jackson with, you know, saying, oh, I admit that I haven't done this X, Y, and Z. And then the tweet last night after 18-point blowout, what's going on at MSG, Phil Jackson, and the whole regime? Plus Dolan's letter. Can I forget that?
Oh, man, it's ugly. It is ugly. It's just a mess. And, you know, those who want to take the glass half full approach, we'll say that this is just a part of the process, and this is a part of Phil's plan to clean house and rebuild. Those who will take the glass half empty approach will tell you that Phil thought he had a playoff team coming into the season, and things have gone horribly wrong since then, and the Knicks are well on their way to establishing the worst record in franchise history. So I guess it kind of depends on your point of view of this thing.
Yeah, that's very true. And so, look, only a minor deal at the deadline, and we'll get your thoughts in a little bit about, you know, the trades for other teams. We say goodbye to Pablo, and they, you know, we say goodbye to Amari, who for half a season, you know, the first year was potential MVP. But for the rest of the season, try to give, you know, some hope to Knicks fans, not for free agency, but who on this roster, and we asked the same thing to Anthony Donahue, you know, a friend of yours and a friend of the show and all that, about the players on the team. Who do you think can develop, grow, and stay on this roster for next season that we could watch tomorrow or tonight?
I think you should keep an eye on Langston Galloway. You know, he's a guy that the Knicks like. The coaching staff is a fan of the way he handles himself, the way he approaches the game, and they've already given him some guaranteed money for next season. So if you're looking at a guy to keep an eye on for next year, I think you keep an eye on him. Also take a look at Lance Thomas. Thomas is another guy I've been told that the Knicks coaching staff likes to maybe hang on to for next year. And you know, when you're looking at these guys, if you are a diehard fan who's still watching these games, and if you are one of those people, credit to you, because I don't know if I'd be able to do it. But if you're one of those people, just remember that, you know, Phil's not going to be able to bring in 11 free agents this summer. So some of these guys will be kept. Some of these guys will be on the roster next season. So I don't think people should look at these guys, all of them at least, and say none of them are going to be around. Some of these guys will be around next year.
Wow. You know what? That is a practical approach, because everybody says Phil Jackson's got free reign, but ultimately you're constricted. You can't bring in 11 Carmellos to add to the one Carmelo we have. So that's a good point. Let me ask you this, Ian. What do you think? All right, let's move from the Knicks, not a playoff team, to other playoff teams. What did you think about free agency, and who do you think benefited the most? You know, because we kept talking about we were waiting for some of those upper echelon teams to make moves, and some of them did, but quite a few of them didn't. So what did you think overall about that crazy free agency and also that crazy Thursday where everything trade deadline.
No problem. No worries. That deadline was crazy. It's interesting because, you know, there are two guys out there who the Knicks were going to target in free agency in Reggie Jackson and Goran Dragic. And it doesn't seem like they have as strong of a chance as landing either of those guys as they did before the deadline, because Dragic was dealt to Miami, and it seems like he will re-sign with Miami. That's kind of the signal that's being put out there, although you never know. But now Miami has an advantage with Dragic because they can offer him an extra year and more money. And Reggie Jackson, you know, it seems Detroit traded for him, and it seems like they'd be motivated to re-sign him because they gave up assets for him. So, you know, you'd think that the Knicks had a chance to acquire one of those guys, make it easier on themselves this summer, and they weren't able to do so because they simply didn't have the assets. So I think, you know, New York was hurt in that regard. But beyond that, I mean, just a dizzying day of trades. And I like what the Thunder did, bringing on Enes Kanter from the Jazz, kind of bolstering their front line. You have to like what Miami did. You kind of scratch your head about Philadelphia trading Michael Carter-Williams. But it seems like if Philly's Sam Hinkie can draft well, they can have a team on the floor that can compete, you know, within the next 3 years. But you have to wonder, if you're a Sixers fan, how long you kind of have to sit through this rebuild before things start to turn around. But,
right,
you know,
what are you going to get?
All a dizzying day, man, on that trade deadline day.
It's an AAU team there in Philly. They keep, I'm saying, when are they going to start the clock ticking on the real team? Right?
I don't know. That's a great question. If you're a Sixers fan, do you spend money on tickets? I wouldn't.
No, definitely not. It's really rough. So, Ian, when you mentioned, and it's a great point with OKC, and I'm sort of, you know, we're bi-coastal, so I'm out here in Arizona with the Phoenix fans in Scottsdale, and, you know, a little surprise. I mean, their hands were tied. They wanted to move, you know, Goran, because you know, of what he said, and just they couldn't re-sign him. And then they got rid of Isaiah, which was a great move, and he returns back here tonight. But what did you think about them getting Brandon Knight and then compare it to Durant and Davis and their sort of continuing injuries? Who do you think could actually pull out that last spot in the West?
You know what? It's a great question, and it's going to be great theater to watch the rest of the way. New Orleans is around there too. I like Brandon Knight. I think Brandon Knight's having a fantastic year. And in the here and now, I think Phoenix put itself in position to compete with the Thunder for that eighth spot. But I will say this, you know, Ryan McDonough brings in Isaiah Thomas, brings in Goran Dragic and Eric Bledsoe, and he tries that three-point guard experiment, and he blows it up 50 games later because clearly it's not working. So I think McDonough deserves some criticism for his kind of experiment, the three-point guard experiment, not working out and him setting his team back a little bit. But I think given the situation, Dragic asking out, it not working out with Isaiah Thomas, Bledsoe, and Dragic, I think McDonough did well for himself to bring back Brandon Knight. And you see how he works with Eric Bledsoe. It'll be interesting. I mean, that's going to be a fun team to watch, and they'll go head-to-head with OKC, which is now without Kevin Durant, for that eighth spot in the West.
Hey, Ian, going back to the East for a sec, do you think that Cleveland has righted the ship? And as we all predicted before the season, we kept talking about Cleveland and Chicago. Do you think that they're on course? The problem is the seedings, but do you think they're on course to meet in the Eastern Conference Finals, or can Atlanta and Toronto be serious playoff contenders?
I like Atlanta a lot. I like the way they play. I like their unselfish nature. I like that how balanced they are. They don't have one guy they're relying on night in and night out. So when you go to game plan for them in a playoff series, it's not like you can load up on one guy like a team with, you know, a superstar like a Carmelo Anthony. You're going to load up on Melo. You're going to load up on, you know, Kevin Durant or Russell Westbrook. With this Atlanta team, if you're game planning for them, who do you key on? Because all those guys can hurt you. So I think they're going to be a tough out in the playoffs.
Can they be as good as those 04, 05 Pistons that went to a finals and lost to San Antonio and won against the Lakers?
That's a great comparison. They, you know, they're not battle-tested like those guys were, but they do have similar components. They meet a similar profile to that team. So I think they're going to be a very tough out in the playoffs.
Hey, Ian, just, you know, we appreciate you coming on and jumping on with us. And before we let you go, jumping just right with that, I mean, you tip your hat to LeBron in terms of, you know, passing Iverson on the scoring list. And he's so great with assists. But honestly, and for me, I you know, preseason, I went with the Bulls and Clippers. And I'm sort of disappointed with the Clippers on the west side, kind of looking like I like the Grizzlies. But on the east, when I look at LeBron right now, he is sort of kind of like the best three, the best point guard. And, you know, it's so easy to go with Curry and Thompson and Harden as MVP candidates and even Anthony Davis if he stays healthy. But what are your thoughts about are we so spoiled? Because LeBron is playing so great now since he's been back, so dominant. Could he by himself with Kyrie will themselves past this depth and the talented Bull team, especially with Rose and Noah being a little banged up still?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's certainly a possibility. I mean, no one's going to call you crazy if you predict that happening because, you know, look at this Cleveland team. Since they brought on J.R. Smith, who's one of my favorite athletes to cover. I miss that guy in the Knick locker room. Iman Shumpert and Timofey Mozgov. I mean, that's a different team. They've won.
They just added Perkins. They got big Kendrick Perkins, too.
Now they have Perkins coming in, who's going to be a key piece, maybe not a key piece, but an important piece in the postseason. That team's won 16 of 18. They're rolling right now, and it seems like they've hit their stride. So no one would be surprised if you said Cleveland was going to take out Chicago in the postseason. I think LeBron has, I don't want to say righted the ship, but it just took them a little while to get on the same page, to get Kevin Love in the right spaces to maximize his talents. And they're doing it right now. They have, you know, steamrolled over the last few weeks. They got Mozgov protecting the rim and J.R. and Shumpert, and those guys have made all the difference.
Yeah, no, you're right. Ian, thanks again, like always. I wish we could be saying that we could talk about some Knick basketball. Great All-Star weekend. I'm sure you had fun with that. You know, I saw Edgar had his great event. Also, the Nets just signed Thomas Robinson. So
Robinson. That shows you how that dates you.
Imagine that, Truck Robinson. So maybe we'll see some Nets in the playoffs, you know?
Yeah, they can make a run. I mean, that eighth spot is wide open in the East. No one's grabbing it. Charlotte's not grabbing it. Brooklyn's not grabbing it. So it is there for the taking, that's for sure.
All right, Ian, thanks so much.
Keep up the great work. We love following you on online, on TV, everywhere. Big fans.
Thank you, boys. Really appreciate it. Looking forward to talking to you soon.
All right, Ian.
Take care. Thanks again.
So, Ray, I ask you, you know, with my little Truck Robinson faux pas, and we, you know,
that's
sad.
Len Truck Robinson to you. That's early 80s Knicks, man.
It warms your heart. And listen. But it's sort of, I guess he's in my mind on a sad note because we'd already talked about Kersey and with him and the clots on the lung. And then, you know, they shut down Bosch, which was the smart and right thing to do. And then Sullinger gets hurt over the weekend. Meanwhile, both those guys are on my fantasy basketball team. So I'm upset about that. But you just hope that they're going to be okay. But what do you think about these little moves? We haven't really spoken about them. We'll see what happens with Larry Sanders. He was bought out. But Kendrick Perkins definitely can help the Cavs, backing up Mozgov in some tough minutes defensively and rebounding in the playoffs in a seven-game series especially. And then do you like – I think I like the Nets adding Thomas Robinson and Thaddeus Young. Great improvement.
Thaddeus Young is an interesting player. You know he's a lefty, so that warms my heart immediately. But this guy keeps bouncing around, you know, ever since he came out of Georgia Tech. You know, he's been bouncing around. They always seem to get rid of him like hot potatoes. He's always either on the trade block or being traded. But I think he's a good quality player, nice sixth man, good addition to the roster. So I like that. Thomas Robinson had one good year at Kansas, but I thought showed enough that he should be a solid role player. So I think the addition of those two, I mean, obviously the Nets lost to Ledovich, but I don't see why the Nets don't just grab that playoff spot and go take it. You know what I mean? I'm disappointed.
No, definitely.
I think
especially with the Pistons having, you know, even though they got Reggie Jackson, they still have the injury to Brandon Jennings. And then Charlotte, they got Mo Williams, but they had the injury to Kemba. So that last spot will be a fight. And then you got to believe if Charlotte is in there now with Milwaukee, Miami might drop off. So, listen.
Yeah, without Bosh, Miami is probably going to fall.
Yeah, I think Miami might fall out. It'll be fascinating to see. Bosh is a great piece. And even though we all love Hassan Whiteside, I just don't, you know, Bosh just does too much.
Now, let me ask you something. If this Bosh thing, obviously we want him to be back, and obviously we want him to be completely healthy because, you know, he's a great player. We love another Georgia Tech kid. If Bosh is hurt more than, I mean, not hurt, but, you know, if his health suffers more than we know it to be right now, I mean, we're assuming he'll be back next season full strength. But if he's not, if there's some questions about his health, does that affect signing Goran Dragic? Because he says, wait a minute, my sidekicks, you know, Dwayne Wade's not that healthy. Bosh now might not be that healthy. Do I want to commit here for 4 or 5 years?
I think he'll stay there. I don't think the Knicks have a shot, to be honest. And remember,
why did the Knicks?
I know, but remember, Zoran is with him. I think the Goran and Zoran show in Miami is going to play really well in South Beach, and I think he'll stay there. I really do. Bosh or no Bosh, he'll get a good contract. They'll keep his brother. Yeah, he's going to stay in Miami. Trust me. I think that's a done deal. And look, OKC, they still could get that eighth spot just because of how talented the four, you know, they brought in those four guys. And Singler, you know, will have to play for Durant a lot. And then, you know, maybe Barry Jones steps up. But also MVP potential, Russell Westbrook, who seems like every night he's getting like 34, 10, and 7. I mean, the kid is just, he's a problem. and I like Cantor and the rest of that roster. So, and maybe Jeremy Lamb starts to step up with more minutes. So I think OKC will probably beat out Phoenix and the Pelicans. And, you know, Anthony Davis, when he went off, he looked like, you know, that injury again to the shoulder. They're only saying 1 to 2 weeks, Ray, but he looked like he was in a ton of pain. And I just don't see – I don't think the Pelicans have enough, you know. I really just don't. So.
No, I like OKC in the West. The East will be interesting. You know, we talk about Atlanta. Are they the 0-4 Pistons? We talk about Cleveland and Chicago. But the team we started the season talking about but kind of has faded away is Toronto. Now, they haven't become worse. Maybe they haven't become any better. They didn't make any big free agent moves. But Toronto is a decent team, you know, and I don't quite know how to think about them in terms of the playoffs. You know, a team that is led by, you know, a backcourt of DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry. Are they tough enough? Are they disciplined enough? And can they win, you know, a game or two on the road in a tight 6-7 game playoff series? So I feel like we need to give more love to Toronto, and maybe we need to put them under the microscope this week,
well,
next week.
Yeah, no, definitely. But you know what's fascinating is that, you know, DeRozan was out for that bit, and then, you know, gave Ross, Terrence Ross, a little bit more shine. There were rumors about maybe them putting him on the block for the trade deadline. They didn't. You know, they didn't improve. Look, they've got a lot of depth. You like my boy Yo Terps, Grievous Vasquez, you know, sort of being the backup point and the third guard, Patrick Peterson. They've got like a lot of guys, but it's all really about, forget that backcourt, it's all about Jonas Vasilunas.
Vasilunas, he's on my fantasy team.
Yeah, well, he's been solid, but he's not. He's put it like this. He's no Nikolai Vucevic from Orlando. he's not putting up 18 and 11 like my man in Orlando. So I just want to see him be able to do a little bit more. And I think they could get out of the first round if they're in that 2-3 and they're playing against Miami, Charlotte, Detroit, or Brooklyn. That won't be a problem. But I don't see them getting to the Eastern Conference Finals, whether it's Cleveland, Chicago, or Washington. They face up with. Do you know what I mean?
Fair enough. You know, Alvin Gentry's got his hands full with that, you know, with that second round matchup. But like, we both think they should be able to get out of the first round. I'd like to see them succeed, though. There's something about them. I like that team. You know, a team is a little disappointing is Washington, right? We thought that they were on the verge.
Well,
being
listen,
a team
no Brad
could...
Beal. I mean, he's their best shooter.
Keeps
they
getting
don't
hurt.
Really
yeah,
have a lot of shooters. And without him, you know, they've been kind of disappointing. That's why I think they traded Miller for Sessions, because Sessions is a little bit more of a combo guard that can put up some points. And if they don't have Beal, you best believe Sessions is going to, you know, they already waived, you know, months ago, Glenn Rice Jr. They got Temple and Rasul Butler, but they don't have pure shooters without Beal.
That's true, but they've got a talented front court, aging a little bit, but they've got a, I don't know, I'm still disappointed, right? Especially given the first 25-30 games of the season, you know, I expected more from the Wizards.
Yeah, go ahead, T. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, so, you know, in the East, though, I could definitely say that, you know, the conversation ends 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you know, Washington, that's it. In the West, you know, we don't know where these teams will end up, but if they end up where they are, where Golden State is right now, it would be – think about their first-round matchups. Golden State, Oklahoma City, Memphis, San Antonio.
Brutal.
Houston, Dallas, and
brutal.
Portland and the Clippers.
And you
I mean,
know what's so funny about
TV.
That? Yeah, no, it's a must-watch TV. And what's so funny about that, there is no home court advantage with those series.
No.
You know what I mean? It can be 1-1, 1-1, 1-1 all the way to game 7 and a toss-up, you know? So I think that's going to be fascinating to see. You know, I can't wait. You know, I can't wait. But I'm very, very concerned if I was a Clippers fan with no Blake and I don't think they have there's enough time for them to drop out of the playoffs, but they could drop down to a seventh seed possibly. That team, it's hard to see because it'll be another season with Chris Paul not probably making it to a finals. And just, you know, he's not getting any younger. And, you know, listen, the guy puts up great stats. We rave and, you know, he's been the best point guard for a while. But I think that time has passed. And I think it's passing quickly this season, especially with Steph, Westbrook, and Lillard, and Kyrie all just, you know, boom. This is the golden age of point guards, without question, you know. So
it really is. And the guy that might be the best of them all in terms of accomplishments, nobody even talks about him anymore, Tony Parker. You know, this guy is amazingly clutch. He's not the dynamic superstar that Russell Westbrook is, but the guy's got four rings, and he's just,
well,
you know,
let me ask you about that, right? Because we've talked about on the show, we've had segments like You're Not Ready and Yo, That's My Guy, talking about Jeff Teague and Mike Conley and the seasons they were having. We both thought Conley could be an all-star, but the West is so crowded. And, you know, Parker's not spoken about, but he's got the jewelry. But to be honest, this Spur team, you know that once they're healthy, they can turn it on. But don't you kind of feel like this might not be that season for them? I'm kind of feeling that.
Yeah, I do for sure. Last season was magical for them in no small part because of the way they went out. Because of, you know, one rebound and a miracle Ray Allen jumper in the corner in game 6 and then a missed Tim Duncan layup in game 7 of the NBA Finals, the San Antonio Spurs were driven and motivated all season long. Now I think finally Father Time is always creeping up on them, and the fact that they don't have that motivation. I mean, they're the defending champs. And if you know anything about San Antonio, ironically enough, they have in the Tim Duncan era, well, in the whole franchise, they
never
won back-to-back, right? They won in 99, and then the Lakers won 3 in a row, and then they won every other year, and then they won now in 2014. So for some reason, they can't do back-to-backs in San Antonio. So, yeah, I think they won't win another championship. This team, as it's configured now, will have to be broken up first.
No, very true. Let's slide on over to the, as they would say in the pros, the guys that play on Saturdays, but they play all during the week, the college hoops, because you look at the top 25, and obviously you talk about just even the Spurs are repeating. I don't think there'll be any repeats in college hoops with UConn. But when you talk about this Kentucky team and you know, want to look at not just them, but, you know, maybe even some of the seeding and some of the other dominant teams, at 27-0, and, you know, we've got less than 3 weeks. Yesterday was 3 weeks from Selection Sunday, one of our favorite days. You know, Ray and Tay used to go crazy just for, you know, to see those brackets get announced, man. It's a magical time, and, you know, it still gives you chills, and then you love to see ESPN and Dickie V break it down, and Jay Williams and Jay Billis, our guys, you know, talk about it. But Kentucky, man, they play in Mississippi State, and then, you know, they face Arkansas. Arkansas has been, you know, a little good, a little tough, but you got to believe that, you know, by the end of the week, they'll be 29-0. And I just wonder, are we starting? I mean, I was looking at the game this weekend against Auburn. I really tried to pay Kentucky a little mind. And there's so many guys on that team. I honestly don't think they can be beat. Because even if Booker and, I don't know, one of the Harrisons play bad, you know, then you've got, Towns. And then, you know, Willie Cauley-Stein could be the player of the year in the SEC. His dunk the other night, his blocks. I mean, this kid, Ray, they come in waves. And I'm not saying they're better than the championship team with Anthony Davis. They've got to win a championship to even be compared to him. But the length, the speed, the athleticism, the talent, and then, you know, even, you know, having the sophomores that they have, you know, they're almost like veterans in college now. This Kentucky team is really scary. And the only teams you see that can maybe touch them are the ones we have mentioned, the Dukes, if Okafor's ankle's okay, Gonzaga. Remember I said over the weekend, watch St. Mary's, and Gonzaga barely won that game. That was amazing. UVA.
Yeah, remember Michigan, Ohio State.
Yeah, you were talking about it, and then Arizona.
Watch
so
out.
Give me your thoughts just on Kentucky and how impressive they are, and are you worried about a weak SEC sort of maybe holding them back at all?
I am, and what I can envision is it always comes back to the 80s for some reason, is a 1989 UNLV Duke situation where Kentucky gets knocked off by a great shooting performance on one hand and a poor shooting performance on the other hand. Now, the one thing about Kentucky that they have with that depth is, remember in that 89 game, who was it? Greg Anthony got in foul trouble, right? And so
that
kind of hurt.
91. Remember, that was 91, I think.
In 90. Oh, yeah, sorry, 89.
Yeah, yeah.
No, was it 91?
It was 91.
Won, yeah.
UNLV won in 90, and then Duke won.
Right. It was the back-to-back. You're right. It was the 90 team that was undefeated. Right. Sorry, it's 91. So Greg Anthony got in foul trouble, and they didn't really know how to close that deal down the stretch. And, again, it turns out that Duke team was phenomenal. But I can see that. There's something about this Kentucky team. They were in a few close games. They
Which
had
helps
to come
them. It does
Which
help
helps them on the one hand, but it shows that their kind of concentration isn't that. Look, at the end of the day, they're kids, right? They're 18, 19, 20-year-old kids. But I don't think they'll go undefeated. I did midseason, but something tells me they might not go undefeated. They could get knocked off in the Elite Eight or maybe in the Final Four, something before the championship game. I don't know. I have a sneaky suspicion.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't blame you for thinking it, because I can see it if it's the right matchup. You know, it's got to – and gosh, look at Northern Iowa ranked at number 10. Good for them. You know, but it's got to be an Arizona team with Stanley Johnson, and they've got their size and a savvy point guard. I don't trust the Kansas team, so it'd have to be a Wisconsin team who can score all over the court, and Kaminsky's not going to be afraid of those guys, or Okafor who – you know, can bang with those boys. And then, you know, they've got the point guard, Tyus Jones, who, to me, he's better than the Harrison twins as a freshman. He's just that talented. Or Gonzaga with a lot of ball handlers and shooters and length. So, you know, there's a couple teams, but honestly, you know, like you said, if it's not the Final Four of the championship, it would barely be the Elite Eight, because I just don't see anybody else in the nation, you know, unless somebody gets super hot. And I do like, and we've talked about it, I do like the rosters of an Iowa State or Utah or North Carolina in terms of them having potential, but they have to play at their best if they were to beat Kentucky potentially in a Sweet 16 or probably an Elite Eight matchup. You know, let me ask you this. What do you think about my Terps, man? 22-5. They're 14. They jumped ahead of the Tar Heels. And huge game Tuesday night. We're going to be watching this on ESPN against Wisconsin, hosting Wisconsin at the Kohl Fieldhouse. What do you think?
There's going to be a lot of red on the court.
That's right. Big
Ten
battle.
You know, it's funny because I was about to write your Terps off. I figured they'd make the tournament, but they'd be a 7-8 seed. But they've had a good, what, 2-3 weeks. Now they're back up. They're 14. They'll be, what, a 4-5 seed, depending on how they do in the Big Ten tournament, not the ACC tournament. You know, I still have a problem with that, but
it's
I need to go.
It's very hard. But 10-4
really
in the conference, you got to believe they can make it to the Big Ten championship. They, you know, they can beat some of these teams.
Well, look, the Big Ten is not what it was last year or the year before. I mean, if you go outside of Wisconsin – everybody else is beatable, you know, early in that tournament. Because what you got Maryland, and then you've got an underachieving Michigan State team, and kind of an up and down Ohio State team, a Michigan team. I mean, these guys, Michigan State. You know, this is one of Tom Izzo's worst, teams, especially how they're playing now in February. Usually around this time of the year.
Great coach, but he's my guy. But you're right, at 19-8, Ray, they're not a. They'll make
the
tournament.
They might need to win a game or two. They might need to win a game or two in the Big Ten tournament. But yeah,
do you see them in like the eight 8 or 9 spot? They could be in that 8-9 game probably this year. Not a good seed.
Not a good seed for them, but maybe not a good seed for a number one. I mean, think about if they played like a Virginia, you know? Tom, never count out Tom Izzo. So they could give,
you know,
they could give a 2 seed, a 1, 2, or 3 seed a hard time, even if they're, you know, if they're a low seed in that, you know, in that second round. They win their 8-9 matchup, or they win their 7-10 matchup, and then they play a 2 seed, a 3 seed. I never bet against Tom Izzo.
Hey, two teams I want to ask you about, kind of on the bubble. You know, we don't know what the Pac-12 will get in terms of, you know, they might only get 2 or 3 teams, and I got to believe one of them might be Arizona State. And let me tell you, they played some good basketball, and the curtain of distraction is getting, you know, publicized worldwide. I mean, papers in Italy and the New York Times have talked about it. They had like a clown in full clown gear, jumping rope. I mean, Ray, these kids at ASU are really the Sun Devil fans. They're doing a great job, and the stats prove that it's working. So they've got a shot. And then to warm your heart, two teams, obviously, you know, at 19-8, Providence will get in, ranked 25 in the country. But our guys look like they're back and might make the team. They're on the bubble. But St. John's, the Red Storm, Ray, Steve Lavin has got these guys playing some decent ball.
Well, he was always a great recruiter, and they just need to keep their guys on the team, not suspended,
yeah,
and healthy. So, you know, we always love to see St. John's in the tournament representing Queens. So, you know what? I can't even wait for March Madness, but we got to go through the conference tournaments soon. So next week the conference tournaments start, and then they go in full gear the week after that. So I can't wait. I can't wait for some Joe Lunardi bracketology. But the biggest story, I guess, is going to be, is Kentucky for real? Can they go, what would that be? I don't even know what the number would be, but let's call it 36-37-0.
Right.
And then after that, there's going to be a bunch of teams that are basically glorified, you know, 1/2 seeds. So where do you seed Virginia and Duke? They might meet in the ACC championship, but Virginia, Duke, Gonzaga, Villanova, Wisconsin, you know, Arizona, Notre Dame maybe sneaks in there. With,
well,
a
right now, let me ask you this: does the ACC potentially? Do you think they get the 2 number one seeds? I don't know if
probably
both of them
not
and would jump ahead.
Probably not, because one of them will lose. At best, they both make it to the ACC finals, and then they lose to each other. You know, obviously the loser wouldn't make it. You got to think Gonzaga probably runs the table in their tournament, so they'll probably get a number one. So Kentucky will get a number one. Gonzaga will get a number one.
Virginia winner
will get a number one, and then, you know, maybe
either
Wisconsin or Villanova or Arizona. You know, whoever.
Right.
Is able to, you know, look good in their tournament and
right.
win it.
And you know, that's what's going to be fascinating, though, with the snake matchup, sort of like that that fifth team. So sort of either let's say Virginia makes it. So either, you know, and Wisconsin makes it. So then it's either Duke, Villanova, Arizona as that sort of fifth team, you know, sort of matching up those first two lines. It's going to be fascinating. And, you know, I tell you, man, that's what it's all about, because at the end of the day, those matchups and who's got a easier bracket in terms of because we've seen a lot of the twos, right, kind of struggle with the 15s. But then in that next bracket, forget the 8-9, it's that 7-10 game, right? The twos have struggled against the 7 and the 10s in the last couple years of the tournament. So, oh, man, it's going to be great, Ray. It's definitely going to be great. So you know what? Why don't we let's rock some rhythms. I think, you know, we've neglected some of the beats because, you know, we like to drop the beats. And let's come back and talk strong with the NFL. We've had some signings, some releases, some longtime players and stuff. And we got to talk about this NFL Combine. Right.
talk football and the combine. The annual rite of passage for 22 and 23-year-old kids to be poached and prodded like cattle.
You got young boys, too, man. Listen, first of all, okay, Leonard Williams, who is going to be anywhere from 1, 2 to 3, in the draft, the defensive lineman from
is he the next Mario Williams? Goes number one.
They're comparing him to J. Watt. I mean, look, he can play every position on the defensive line. The kid's got a motor. He was a beast. His time was great. You know, it's amazing to see someone at 302 pounds move, you know, the way that he could move. But my biggest thing from the combine was all the quarterbacks threw. They did the drills, and it was great. You could debate whatever you want with Winston and Mariota, but to me, Winston won me over when I saw him with Steve Mariucci in that little sort of interview that they simulate how they have to do get on the whiteboard for the coaches. And Winston broke down a play, knew the coverages, knew this. First of all, he's been an academic All-American. People don't talk about this, right? When they rip the kid, he's been an academic All-American 2 years. His intelligence, his football IQ is off the charts. And Mooch was blown away by him, and so was I. I don't know if you got to see that segment. It was more than impressive.
Oh, I didn't see it.
Oh, you got to see it. I'm sure it's online. Google it, YouTube it, whatever. But NFL Network will be showing it, I'm sure, on Total Access tonight again. But when Winston went to the board, Ray, you felt like nothing could kind of throw this kid off. And you saw how he could read coverages. And what was so amazing, they said, and Daniel Jeremiah had mentioned it, and friends of the show, Charles Davis, who's been on with us, you know, they start Path to the Draft on Tuesday. They were talking about it, that there are legendary stories that at halftime, the reason, you know, yeah, Winston threw some interceptions, but at halftime that Fisher would basically come in and they would like almost give them all, you know, new plays to the adjustments. And at Winston, you know, he'd come in and make those comebacks, and that he would just be able to, you know, whatever they talked about in halftime, put it out there on the field and do it. And that's NFL type stuff. And I was blown away, and to me, without question, he's the number one pick. And I don't think Tennessee needs to take a quarterback. I would go with Zach Mettenberger, give Zach a chance, and I think Leonard Williams will go to the Titans at 2. I just think those are locks to me.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I was blown away by Marcus Mariota's athletic ability, but we saw it on the field, but to see you know, off the field as well. But still have questions about his ability to actually run a pro-style offense. Although, for taking under snap for, like, what they say, like 50 days, he was doing okay. For 4 years, but he's doing it. He looks okay. But the other thing that blew me away was Jameis Winston, how unathletic he is on the one hand, but how good his arm is, how strong, how accurate, and they kept saying about he's got a shoulder issue. He's fine. This guy
is
fine. And I think they had this prod in him that they were checking his, like, whatever. So anyway, I think that's a non-issue. But this guy, you know, first and foremost, sometimes we get too cute. You know what I mean? We talk about your IQ and your this and your that. And all that's important, right? You need to make good decisions. But at the end of the day, you need to deliver the football if you're a quarterback, right? Can you throw the ball? And then after that, are you, you know, throw the ball with accuracy, right? And then after that, can you create a new pocket? Can you move around? Can you throw from different arm angles? All
right.
That.
And Winston's athletic enough to do what he needs
that's
to
do. Well, that's it. So Winston's athletic enough. Yeah. But his passing was outstanding. I really thought that he did a great job delivering the ball, throwing the whole route tree, you know, doing all the things that a quarterback needs to do. Can you throw the ball? A resounding yes for Jameis Winston. Even though we had seen him for 2 years, still impressed.
Two things.
And like we said before, I was also impressed that quarterbacks manned up and actually threw at the combine. Jameis Winston was going to be the number one, two, or three pick in this draft regardless. and he came and he showed up and he did his thing.
Yeah. I want to ask you about the other quarterbacks. We'll get to that in a second. But there were some amazing things. This kid from UConn, Byron Jones, set a record with the broad jump, standing broad jump of 12 feet, 3 inches. And then the 44.5-inch vertical, which is like the second or third best. The best was like a couple years ago. Some kid did 46. Either way, it's ridiculous. But the interesting thing of yesterday and today, when you're talking about defense, the safeties, not too good. There were some very good corners and long corners, some speed, but, you know, only one maybe safety that could be a first rounder, not too much depth. And the linebackers were slow and could not catch the ball at all. Some tight hips. It was really interesting to watch and hear Mike Mayock and Willie McGinnis talk about it and break it down. And then, Ray, the three receivers. And I think we might have a switch in order because you got Parker from Louisville, Cooper from Bama, and Kevin White. And Kevin White showed out with that speed. And he, you know, had the fastest time of all the receivers, or the second fastest time with the, I think, the 4.35. He was a beast. And then the other kid from Georgia was, like, really fast. Everybody's like, oh, we got to check him out again. So I think White might go to the Raiders at 4. He'll be the number one receiver, I think. Yeah, you might take Cooper. He's real smooth. But Cooper might be the 2, and Parker be the 3 from Louisville. But you know who else stepped up? My guy, number 21 from Arizona. They compared him to Fitzgerald, Jalen Strong. He did great, ran well. Looks like he might be the 4th receiver and probably a first-round pick, Ray.
Well, you know what we said this year about how the receiving class was so outstanding. I mean,
the best ever.
And not only that, but, you know, Buffalo got a slap on the wrist. We all love Sammy Watkins coming out of Clemson, but Buffalo keeps getting knocked in the media for trading up to get Sammy Watkins when this wide receiving class was so deep. So now that it's a game of passing, protecting the passer, and defending the receivers, that those receivers can be first, second, third round picks and making a meaningful impact on your team. So look for anybody who's borderline to actually be a first round pick or a second round pick.
Yeah, you know who ran fast is my guy from Maryland, who was a big recruit out of high school, Stephon Diggs. And I'd like, you know, I would probably see him in the mid, late second round. It'll be fascinating, and we'll get into in our, you know, hopefully we get one of our guests to come on and talk about the draft with us. But, you know, you've got such talent, and we'll get in and we make our own mock drafts, and we'll talk about the different mocks. But when I look at the quarterbacks, I want to ask you, between, you know, so it's Winston and Mariota, whatever people want to put in the order. But for that third spot and a potential end of the first round, somebody coming up to get them, because, look, teams need quarterbacks, and it's much more than three teams. Who do you think? Could it be Colorado State's Grayson, who played a pro-style offense? Could it be Bryce Petty? Could it be Sean Mannion from Oregon State? Could it be our boy Hundley from UCLA? Out of those four, who's going to be the third quarterback? That's the storyline there.
You know what? It's a great question. It'll be resolved, obviously, on draft night, but I think it depends on the philosophy of the GM. You know what I mean? You might take the big physical raw talent of a Brett Hundley, or you might take the system accomplishments of a Petty, or you might take the kid from Colorado State who now everybody is saying might be hands down the number 3 guy, and if it wasn't for Mariota's outstanding athleticism, might be number 2. So, you know what? It's so hard to tell, and it really depends on who's drafting at that moment.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about some of these guys that got cut. Well, first of all, I got to say congrats to Arizona, right? They had a great offseason already in terms of keeping Fitzgerald, getting, you know, 2 more years with him. And, you know, I'm still working to get Fitzgerald to come on our show, so we might have a breakthrough on that. We'll talk about that hopefully soon. But Fitzgerald is back. They give extensions to the GM Kine and to the coach Bruce Arians, who's coach of the year 2 out of the last 3 years. And away they go. So, you know, and what Larry did was give them some cap space so they can go after one or two free agents. And it'll be interesting to see in the first round, do the Cardinals, who I think are at like 20-something, do they at 22, do they draft a running back, right? Because they need – well, the Steelers are 22. But at 24, do they draft a running back, which they kind of need because they don't have depth. And, you know, our boy is kind of light in the butt and he doesn't stay healthy. Or – do they in free agency say, you know what, we'll take a Peterson or try to trade for Adrian Peterson because he announced today that the trust is broken and he wants to never play for the Vikings again.
Is that a Goran Dragic situation?
Ray, listen, I wouldn't blame Adrian. I think maybe it's just time for him to move on for all of them. The owners, the Wolves haven't come out and really said much. The organization, Zimmerman and the coach and the players, oh, of course we want Adrian back. But until you hear it from the ownership, you know, they might not want to bring him back for that money either. And maybe bridges
right.
have, you know, they maybe things are too broken. They
Did
said
you
Tom
read the story
Thompson,
about D'Angelo Williams?
Well, that's what I was going to get to. Yeah, D'Angelo's gone.
But it's like it almost as if he told the media that the Panthers cut him.
Yeah, I know.
That whole thing was weird.
Yeah, it is weird. And, you know, I guess in this day and age, they kind of maybe give an agent a heads up. And then, you know, the agent might say something and the player's like, hey, I'll just blurt it out. You know, they're like, oh, they're going to release you in a day or two. You know what I mean? I don't know. Honestly, I have a lot of questions about how they're running that organization. And we know Richardson's a former player and he's got the NFL logo as the only stadium at midfield and yada yada and the shield. Well, you know what? The shield is failing the Panther fans. All the mess with Greg Hardy, you know, not replacing Jordan Gross in offensive line, which they need to do this year, probably in the draft. You know, not so many great offensive linemen. We'll see how that turns out. You know, in terms of there's more depth, but early in the draft. And then, you know, the contracts from the GM prior with the running backs, no receivers really for Cam. And then now, they're saying Cam is going to be like, okay, he's going to do the Joe Flacco. He's going to, you know, go into not, you know, play on the final year of his rookie deal and go and test it out and be like, you know, I'm going to play for my pay, which I commend him for. But what if, you know, I think the Panthers are making a mistake. Sign Cam long term, you know?
Yeah. Speaking of signings, though, the Giants said, did you see that? The JPP is going to be franchised if they can't get a deal done for him. Speaking of deals, your folks in Arizona both signed a 4-year extensions. The GM and Coach
Arians.
Yeah,
that's what I was just saying. Bruce Arians and Kine. Yeah, no,
it's great.
It's really so good. And it's the way to go. And
but you know what I'm disappointed at though is just when you think he turned the corner, just when you're excited. And he's opposing free agency.
Yeah, the Cowboys don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, Rolando McClain is facing a drug suspension.
Oh, no.
Right as he's entering free agency. So, substance abuse policy violation, according to multiple sources. And you know, you just feel like the kid had a great season, turned it around. He retired from football, which who retires from football when you still have a lot of juice still left in the tank? But you hoped he got it together. Forget about Dallas. You know, I'm just worried about this kid. I mean, four-game suspension. I mean, God, get your P's and Q's right. You only get one chance. One in the NFL, maybe two chances, three chances to do this.
Right.
You know what I mean? Oh, that's so disappointing for him.
Hey, back to the promising stuff. Two young studs I got to mention that I was blown away by, and they're both going to be, I think, top 10 picks. The nose tackle, Danny Shelton from Washington, he was incredible. This guy, and I've seen him play at Washington, he picks up offensive linemen and just throws them around. And he was so impressive in the drills and just everything. He's going to be a stud. I think the Bears should take him at 7. And then, well, really three guys. I love Shaq Thompson, right, who went from running back to linebacker. We've had George talk about him on our show before from UCLA. And he's looking like a top 10 pick. He ran well. And then the kid, the linebacker, Vic Beasley, who was like a stud and just, I mean, great times. So, look, I think this is overall, it's a talented draft. I there's certain positions that seem to be lacking. I think people are going to be surprised that this receiver class is not going to be that much worse than last year's. You know what I mean? Like, that's how talented they are. And I think you've got some great defensive linemen. And, you know, you got Shelton and Brown and Leonard Williams. And, you know, you got a bunch of really talented linemen. And it's just going to be fascinating. And, you know, we're big Jet fans, so you want to know, what are the Jets going to do at six? Would you do a deal for Nick Foles? If Mariota drops, would you say for the Jets, go with Mariota or go with Nick Foles?
Wow.
Because you can't go with Geno Smith. This is the time to switch quarterback.
Geno's out.
Right?
And, you know, I was a big fan of giving Geno 2 years. I said, give him a chance
to
fail. If you drafted him, you cannot tell me that it's an incomplete. After 2 years, you need to tell me he's your guy or he's not your guy. And he's not your guy. And that's okay. I mean, you don't love it that you spent the first pick and a second round on him. But
with a new GM and a new coach, you know they're not going to tie their horses. You know, this is when you can hit the reset button, right?
I like this kid, Nick Foles, man. I think he had a phenomenal first season. It caught up to him a little bit in the second season. But I think he's a legit NFL player, quarterback that could lead a team. He's big. He's strong. He's got a good arm. He's accurate. He threw like 2 interceptions, not last year, but the year before. I like Nick Foles. I don't know that I would move up and go crazy for a Marcus Mariota, but I would trade for a Nick Foles if, for some reason, Chip Kelly, like you think, wants to get Mariota on his team. I'm not sure he does. I'm not sure he wants to give up.
No. Don't fool yourself. Your boy Tay is not wrong about this one. And let me tell you, at the combine, when Mariota was throwing, Chip Kelly had the binoculars on him. Man,
no.
It's great.
Well, first of all, if you're going to do that, why don't you be more discreet? You know what I mean? You know the guy. If you love the guy, then you put up smoke screens. You said, nah, I'm not interested in him. We got Nick Foles. We're all good. We'll bring Michael Vick back to back up Nick Foles. You know, you throw the scent off.
It's great. Let me tell you something. I think your boy Chip, remember I told you, now he's more of like the GM there, too. He's got he can get the groceries. And I think he's going Mariota shopping. I'm telling you. I'd put money on it. I would go to Vegas with that. I really would. So, look, we're about to wrap up the show. We got to say congrats to your boy. First of all, you talk about issues off the field. How about NASCAR and Bush? Very sad what happened to Kyle Busch and then Kurt Busch with the domestic violence stuff. He might be gone for a while. But the injury to Kyle and all the players came out and all the drivers and were like, look, this is 2015. You got to have the padding. And they're right. For safety, you got to have the padding on the track. And Joey Logano wins the Daytona 500, right? Your guy?
Joey Logano, the guy I picked last year to come out of nowhere and do his thing. And then we also got to give, shifting gears to baseball real quick, investments the Red Sox make. They got the guy. They got their guy. Yoan Moncado, he's going to be a Red Sox. Big commitment by them. You know, they've had mixed results. What's that?
They said they landed him. How much? What did they wind up giving this kid?
Yeah, the signing bonus is $31 million. Ooh. And they gave him, I forgot actually how much.
Wait, is he Dominican, Cuban? Where's he from?
Cuban. Yeah, no, it's Cuban.
Oh. All right, that's great. But listen, they're still going after Cole Hamels too.
Yeah, he says
so,
okay
from the Phillies. So we'll see what happens. And then everybody's talking about A-Rod reporting and how that's going to play out. And
came 3 days early, so you know hopefully they'll get the circus out of the way and then they'll play baseball. I mean, the Yankees are stuck with him and he's stuck with them, and it's just you're going to have to live with
it. People have said it best, Ray. He's going to – I don't care what happens in the spring training. He's going to be the opening day DH. So let's just see how it works out and all that stuff. I mean, it's just look. So, look, it's going to be a great sports week. And we just thank everybody listening. Thank you for Ian Bagley from ESPN New York joining us. Great show, and we got some great college basketball, some good NBA games tonight. And, you know, thanks for listening and talking sports with us, man.
Have a great sports week. We'll be back on Friday to wrap it up and get ready for the weekend. And guess what? March is right around the corner. So get your March Madness.
Pitchers and catchers, spring training starting.
Ready.
Games start, I think, March 3rd and 4th for most teams. So we're right here, Ray. We are right here in the last week.
We're ready. We might send Tay to some Cactus League games with some with some pen and paper, some cybermetrics, some stats. You know, he's so fired up about Vegas Summer League. We'll get him fired up about Arizona Spring Cactus League spring training.
Cactus League, you got. Listen, I enjoyed it last year. Some great facilities out here, and I'm looking forward to it. So. Hey, great show, and let's hoop it up. And still waiting to see if the Clippers make a move to sign Ray Allen or Larry Sanders, because they still got one roster spot open. Ray, somebody's got to do something.
Yeah, we should be having that happen probably within the next few days.
Yeah. All right, man. Well, great show, and like Ray said, we'll talk to you Friday, 6 p.m. Hopefully. Enjoy.
Have a great sports week. We'll see you on Friday.
Peace.